Hello and what's good, Nuggets Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Dig in Denver podcast, a podcast for the people by the people. As always, Derek, your handsome and humble host, accompanied by your co-host, Logan. What's up, Logan?
Hey. What's up, Derek, and what's good, Nuggets Nation, and thank you for joining us for another episode, and let's get to it.
Jeez, Logan, take it easy. Hold on before we get started. Just want to go ahead and remind everybody to go and give us a five-star review on iTunes if you can. Make sure to drop a comment as well. And just let us know what you think about the pod and some things that we can add or things we can do to make it better. We always thrive off of your guys' feedback, so we really do appreciate it. Let's dig in, Denver.
You can judge me till your face turn pink. Just rip the show when we did what you can't.
You mentioned Charlotte. That's the start of 4 in a row at home and 9 of 12 overall. How defining or how important do you sense that this stretch is going to be?
Obviously, we know that we have a home-heavy schedule coming up. And in the big picture, sure, you got to protect your home court. If you want to win and be a playoff team, winning at your home court is very important because the second half of our schedule is very road-heavy. So, yeah, you always want to build a lead if you can and protect the home court.
Girl, you all up in my mind. I just want to see you go shining. Let's go. Let's go.
I'm taking a long gas flight overseas, sleeping on the plane until I reach Germany. Dining group of people in Berlin, they heard of me. Stepping on stage to murder shit around three. Stinky motherfuckers usually surround me, but I don't clown. They got left on my sound. They wanna see a party go down with a cigarette burning.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, like we said, welcome to another episode of the Dig in Denver podcast, a podcast for the people. And tonight we're going to get into a couple of things. We're going to talk a little bit about the two previous wins that we just had against the Chicago Bulls and the Milwaukee Bucks. There's some really impressive things that happened there, so we wanted to take a quick recap on them and go over some of that stuff and the things that we had seen. We'll also be going over some of the audio from our reporter Mallory Salazar that was able to attend the practice today. Had a couple good quotes from Coach Malone and some of the how the team's playing, especially just the other day's game against the Milwaukee Bucks, some of the things that he's seen. We also got a little bit of audio from Manuel Moutier and Gary Harris, some really good compelling stuff there. So in this episode, guys, you're going to hear a couple times where we just kind of cut to the audio of some of the recordings that Mallory Salazar was able to capture, and we'll talk a little bit more about those and expound on those. So just throughout the pod, we'll be dropping those in here and there. The last subject or docket on our list as well is we're just going to previewing a little bit more about the upcoming game against Charlotte tomorrow. So, Logan, go ahead and take it away.
First takeaway that I have about these two games is I think that the Nuggets need to play more games against the Eastern Conference. We do a lot better versus them. I think it'd be very helpful, so maybe we should switch that up. NBA, let's think about that. No, I'm just kidding. But let's go in and let's dive in and talk about these things. So, we've had the last two games against Chicago and Milwaukee. To start off, I'm sure you guys already know this, but the first time that we won back-to-back road games so far this year, it took us all the way until March, I guess end of February and March to do that. But we finally got it done, and we're moving in the right direction, it seems like, and it's really exciting basketball to watch right now. So, Derek, you want to dig in and start talking about a little bit more details about those two games?
Yeah, definitely. Some of the more impressive things that really made me happy to watch was just the defensive effort that was going on in two of the games. One of the person that I really want to highlight or really give a shout out to is Wilson Chandler, man. He was all over those two high caliber scoring players that he was defending, and he really took that job into his own and really made it personal and did an excellent job of giving us an advantage on that side. I've been kind of critical of the Nuggets over this last season especially, but how we always tend to give up a lot of buckets to the opposing team's best scorers or just anybody who really has an offensive threat. And I really thought that Wilson Chandler did an amazing job at keeping them contained, making sure to do his job and really dig in and and give them a fit to make sure that they had a tough night shooting. The Nuggets were also doing a really good job in both games, actually. They're actually shooting a really good percentage as well. We were shooting 56 from the field, so it was really nice to see a lot of open, good shots being taken and that we were finishing those opportunities. Sometimes this team, at least a couple different players on the team, have a tendency to miss open shots or we work really hard and have good ball movement and then take an ill-advised shot or miss the wide open. So just really impressive on that end as far as the Chicago game goes. I didn't get to watch the entire game, but like I said, for what I had seen in the beginning, it was really good defensive and the free-flowing offense that is the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, one thing that I've been really impressed about these last couple games, and even since the beginning of the second half of the season after the All-Star break, was the play of Gary Harris. He's had quite a few,
It seems every year he just gets a little bit better, a little bit better. What do you attribute that improvement to?
Hard work, dedication, committing to his craft. Obviously his rookie year, I think before I got the job, there were questions about what kind of player he was going to be. When I got here, I started at the 76, and he showed me the potential that he had offensively and defensively. All summer long, he was, one of our best workers. He lived in the gym, he worked on his body, he worked on his handle, and he worked on his shot. And right now, he's playing with great confidence, he's shooting with great confidence, and I think we're playing so well as a team right now, but two guys that have a great chemistry on the court is Nikola and Gary. And that's because Gary's in constant motion. He's moving, he's cutting, he's running. And he plays so well off of Nikola. But I give all the credit to Gary Harris because he's in the gym all the time.
20-point games already so far, and he's been really good. And what surprised me, I was actually looking up some stats the other day, and Gary Harris was actually fourth in the league in three-point percentage. He's since dropped off. I think he's 11th now. But just thinking back to a couple years ago, we had no three-point threat. And that's why we drafted these three young guys in Beasley, Hernan Gomez, and Jamal Murray to get a little bit of that three-point shooting back. But we didn't know that we actually had it on our team already. And Gary Harris, he's been shooting really well all year, really, when he's been healthy. And the ability of him being able to score off the threes, and now them having to take into account his three-point shot, he's able to now get to the rim a lot better, and you've seen a couple thunderous dunks that he's been able to throw down on people, and that's really fun to watch. And I mean, if you guys have listened to some of these podcasts before, me and Derek are really big Gary Harris fans, so we'll always be praising him. But I've really liked the versatility of his scoring the last couple months especially.
Yeah, great points for sure. One of the things that I was noticing about Gary, and we've talked about it before on this podcast and many other people on some of the other podcasts that are out there have mentioned this as well, is that Gary plays through the entire play. And actually the whole Nuggets are getting a lot better at this, but especially Gary does an excellent job at going through the entire play. What that does is it makes the defender play honest. That means if they don't guard them through an entire cut, Jokic is going to find them on those late passes. A lot of the really good passes that Jokic has is leading the guys into the scoring position or, the next pass for the assist, but that's because they follow through on the cut. They have a really good tendency to make sure to follow all the way through, make sure they're looking up for his passes, and that's how he's able to lead them into a really good position where they have some awesome, awesome scoring abilities. So I really like that about Gary. I think you mentioned some really good things. His three-point percentage has been going up, which is really nice to see as well. And when he's moving and the system's working really well, like you said, he's hitting his open threes. He's able to knock them down. He had a little bit of a rough patch. I mean, these last two games specifically, when you look at the numbers and stats, but he was only 1-for-5 against Chicago. But overall during the year, he's done a really good job at making sure to knock down those points. So excellent points for sure, Lowe.
Yeah, and I guess one other thing we could talk about these last two games is some guy named Nikola Jokic had a couple triple-doubles or something like that. No, but I looked at some more stats this morning, actually, and Nikola Jokic is fourth in the league behind Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and LeBron James in triple-doubles. He's right behind that elite company. Granted, he's at 4, LeBron's at 7, Harden's at 19, and Westbrook's at like 31 or something crazy like that. But he's in that company, and his versatility has really shown in the last month. I mean, all four of those have been in the last 32 days. So he's really coming into his own. I know he struggled a little bit coming out of the All-Star break, but he's shaking that rust off a little bit, and it's exciting to see, and it's always fun to watch when he's in the building, and you really don't know what to expect. You're going to see one of those wild, crazy passes every night. The last game against Milwaukee, he had that between-the-legs pass to Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray actually missed that three-pointer, but that was a crazy pass. I wish he would have made that. That would have made a couple highlight plays, but that was he's so much fun to watch, and us as Denver fans, we know that he's underrated overall, but I think he's starting to get some of the recognition he deserves. Not all the way there yet, obviously, because we're a small market team, but he's really starting to get a little bit of press, especially after his Rising Stars stuff and the Skills Challenge. People are starting to recognize this kid, and it's fun to see a little bit of hype come around the Denver area.
Indeed, Nikola Jokic is a monster and a growing fan favorite. He's actually really started to be revered around the entire league. It's really nice to have somebody that's giving us attention.
We all have like a pool. How about those Chicago fans? And a taste of home that we all connect to. For you to see Nikola get that this weekend in the Midwest and have that kind of set, like, feel of home, how nice was that for you to see for him to have?
Yeah, it was, I tell you, I didn't even realize. He told me that outside of Belgrade, Chicago has the largest Serbian population in the world. Which is amazing. And I heard them once they did the lineups. I looked behind the bench when the roar came out and saw the flags waving. I was like, okay, this is pretty neat. And you can tell he really relished that, you know, being in that situation to play so well in front of his fans and countrymen. He has a lot of pride in being from Serbia. He takes a lot of pride in winning a silver medal at the Olympics and representing his country. And to go to Chicago and have all those fans come to Milwaukee the next night and support him was really neat to see. And he's a hell of a young player, and I think people not only in Serbia but also here in this country are learning what a special.
How about those Chicago fans, though, man? Shout out to the Serbians that showed up at Chicago and then the next day against Milwaukee too. You guys are awesome. It's cool to have such an awesome fan base supporting such a great kid and a great player. Really, you know, I thought that was awesome. You saw all the flags and everybody going crazy, and I thought the best part was he went and showed them love too. He's a very, very proud person of his heritage and where he comes from and all that good stuff. So, like I said, shout out to the Serbians. Adam Modis in his the latest pod actually called to have everybody start bringing some Serbian flags around, getting Nikola pumped up. The last couple games that, you know, he was having some support from his hometown team. He had those triple doubles, so it's pretty sweet to see. And it's nice, like you said, that this kid is doing what he's doing for us and elevating us to a whole nother level of play.
Next time I go to a game, I'm probably just going to grab a Serbian flag and go, because he's going to want to take a picture with me. Even though I'm not Serbian, I'll just get that picture with Jokic. It'll be worth it. Don't tell him I said that, but let's get this picture, Jokic.
I don't know, though. You look like a Serbian to me, but no, definitely. It's really cool to see everybody, so big shout out. These next few games, I'm just going to get this in real quick. These next few games are going to be huge. Go support the team. They play so much better when the fans are out there. It's been publicized throughout the year how much they enjoy the fans being out. So we play a really big role for these guys, and let's get them some energy going into these, hopefully the playoffs. You know, we're pushing for this A seed. It's going to be a race down to the end. Really important to show out strong here and really, really give a good crowd presence, making this a hard place to play at, not only because of the altitude, but as well as because of us fans getting real loud. We are also, just remind you real quick plug here, but make sure to go to the Dig in Denver Twitter. We're actually having a free contest. All you have to do is ask a question, follow us on Twitter, repost it, and you'll actually enter a chance to win a couple free tickets. So we have a couple of these games coming up that we're going to be giving tickets away to. So make sure to find your way over there and follow us on Twitter. All the rules are up on there, and we'll see if we can get you guys a couple of tickets to help these Nuggets players out.
All right, so one small thing we want to add into that is just not the plugging. You need to stop that plugging. Stop supporting yourself. No. I also want to talk about Jamal Murray starting. That was really big for him. That was his first NBA start, and I think he played pretty good. I mean, his stats, 10 points, 5 assists, that's respectable, but shooting percentage wasn't great. But he played good basketball all around, and it's always fun to watch him out there because he's always given 100% effort on the defensive end and the offensive end. He's always moving around, and that's fun to watch, and it's definitely helpful for Jokic get that movement in the offense, and everyone starts moving. Gary's moving. Wilson starts moving. Gallo even had a couple back cuts for dunks. Just his presence on the offensive side in that first unit is really good. It gets everybody moving more than just Gary, which is really nice because when Jameer's in there, he can kind of stand around as much. He doesn't really get that many back cut layups like Jamal Murray can. So it's good to have that movement in the offense. What did you think about the starting of Jamal Murray, Derek?
Man, to tell you the truth, Logan, I thought you were going to be a little bit more pumped up about him. I was super excited. I think when you look at his entire body of work from the last two games, it may have not been as impressive as purely when I was watching him in that starting five against Milwaukee. He looked amazing. I love that starting five. I normally don't get to watch the games till the day after, just, you know, super busy with kids and family and work and whatnot, but I started watching the game the next day, and I saw that starting lineup come across the screen. I was like, are you serious? This is going to be awesome. I love this starting lineup. And sure enough, man, these guys came out and played amazing. Everyone kept talking about, you know, and this was a little bit further in the game, but the starting unit really started this whole flow. But the passing was amazing. I thought Jamal made some excellent decisions in the first 5 minutes of that game. I think he got a couple of guys involved. He was getting himself some scoring opportunities. I thought he did a great job for his first time starting as our point guard and running the team. Like you said, his shooting percentage is going to be all over the place. The kid can shoot. There's no doubt that we'll ever have to worry about his confidence. Shooter's going to shoot, you know, let him do his thing. I think that, like I said, his percentages will be all over the boards and stuff, but I like his shots, and I like the fact that he's a confident kid for sure. So some really good things that we saw in the past two games in Chicago and in Milwaukee. Really great subjects there. I don't want to get too much further into it, Logan, unless you got anything else really important you want to say about those games.
No, I think we basically covered most of that.
Excellent. Cool. Well, let's go ahead and move on, and let's talk a little bit more about this audio that our reporter Mallory Salazar was able to attain for us so we can put on this podcast for you guys to hear and get a little bit of inside scoop. So let's go ahead and we'll play that real quick, and then we'll kind of break down about it.
Greg, just what have you noticed on that end before?
Yeah, obviously that was a big part of going to Chicago, Milwaukee, and winning those two games. Hold both of them to the identical field goal percentage, 45.8. Something we talked about coming out of the break, with 26 games to go. Our offense has been fantastic, but let's challenge ourselves to be as good as we can defensively. And the guys have, you know, taken that seriously. We've done a better job. We're more committed. Guys are communicating. And, you know, just kind of being more disciplined within the game plan and guarding people and personnel. But, you know, it just can't be first five games. It's got to be every single night for us. And, you know, tomorrow night, another challenge against Charlotte Hornets and Kemba Walker, who's a very good all-star player.
A lot of guys have said just you're being more aggressive on that end of the floor. Is that just like a mindset type thing? Is that a game plan? Or?
Yeah, it's both. You know, I mean, obviously we've changed our coverages to be more aggressive. So the game plan has been less being down the floor, more being up. And I think that has helped us at times. When you are aggressive in pick and rolls, for example, that does open up other areas, and you need great weak side awareness to account for that. But I think having a guy like Mason Plumlee, who is so versatile in pick and rolls, you can do a lot of different things. And, so I think being aggressive is definitely part of it. But it also just comes with a determination and a willingness to defend. We've shown we can do it, but we have not shown that we can do it consistently enough. And that's our challenge right there, being much more consistent with that defensive effort.
So a couple questions that I really had are something that's been going through my mind recently when I think about this team's defense. And it's been talked about how Coach Malone has really been considered a defensive end coach, and our defense is awful. One of the things that it looks like sometimes is just the effort in communication. There's a lot of lapses as far as positional-wise as well, and I think our guys can do a little bit better at pre-positioning. So even though the ball may be on the other side of the court, sometimes they'll get stuck in bad defensive positioning to then make the move when the ball swings or when their guy cuts. And I think that's where a big part of it is. They're a step behind every once in a while. But a lot of it's just communication and effort is what I feel like. Just the real fundamentals, just caring about defense, truly caring about defense and being a good defensive team. I think one of the questions that I had was, is it something they talk about? Is it something that he makes a big deal? Is it something that they're aware of? Obviously, they're aware of this stuff. I know they're not dumb, but it just seems like it wasn't getting better for a while. And these last two games, I thought, really were a big turnaround for the defensive end. So to hear Coach Malone say that they talked about it, that they're acknowledging it, and that going forward, hopefully that it's going to be a pressing issue, I think is going to be crucial for this team, especially if we make it to the playoff and we can secure this eighth seed, because we're going to need a better defensive stop if we want any chance of even winning a couple games. A lot of people are saying that it's a given that we're just going to get blown out by whoever we play. I really think this team has potential to make whatever series, whoever it ends up being, either more probable Golden State or even San Antonio, a really good series if we can play good defense, because both those teams are good defensive teams. So we need to, you know, not just trade buckets and let them hit threes. And I definitely don't want to rely on our shot, but we have what it takes to really give these teams a fit, especially in that first round. So it's good to hear that they're so focused and definitely making a conscious thought of defense. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I agree. I think that kind of what Malone was saying in that interview as well, is we held both the teams to 45.8% shooting. I mean, that's good. It's not great, but with how our offense plays, that's all we need. We don't need to hold people to 38% shooting on a night to win. If we can hold them to 45, 46, heck, even like 50%, we have a chance of winning that game because we are a very effective offensive team. And also, we're one of the top rebounding teams in the league as well. So if we can get them to miss those shots, we can get those boards, get out in transition, get that offense really moving around, and we can be a scary team if we can just buckle down just a little bit more, just decrease that percentage for shooting for the other team just a little bit, and we can be a scary team to play in the playoffs.
Yeah, just to your point about us being one of the best rebounding teams in the league is that I notice a lot of times when our guys are going up for rebounds, and it happens with pretty much all of them, there's two guys to three guys in the area for the rebound, but a lot of times they're like going up and almost fighting each other for the rebounds. We don't do a great job at boxing out, which is probably our worst part in that aspect of the rebounding game. But other than that, everybody's very aggressive for rebounds. You see young Jamal Murray getting up and snagging bounds to, you know, obviously Jokic, and Plumlee and everybody else gets involved. I did notice that too. And I, you know, see that a lot of times two guys go for the ball, almost kind of fighting for it, but just like, oh, my bad. You got it. And I think that's a great thing. And it shows the mentality for being hungry to get those rebounds.
How happy are you with what you've seen with Mason so far in the past couple weeks?
Yeah, I've loved Mason. You know, great kid. I mean, first and foremost, really fits the culture that we're trying to have here. Terrific work ethic, high IQ, unselfish. Brooklyn game jumps out to me, almost had a triple-double. You know, just two assists shy of that. He's very good pick-and-roll defense. He's very good post-defense, so he adds a defensive component that we were lacking. And I have to trust him more, though. I have to put the ball in his hands more when I take Nikola out, so we don't become so stagnant. And that kind of happened that second half when we were up big against Milwaukee. We stopped moving, we stopped cutting, and we became a one-on-one team. And when that happens, it's never good. So I can continue to do a better job of trusting and allowing Mason to be the playmaker that he is.
So I thought that those were really, really interesting comments, and I just wanted to touch on them a little bit. One of the things in the Milwaukee game when we really started to lose, two things happened. And I'm going to give Adam props to this too. He came out with this pod earlier in the week or right after the game with Milwaukee, is that team really gave the Nuggets a fit when Moutier and Barton were both in the game. Barton, I don't think, is a bad defensive player, but he has bad defensive lapses often, if that makes sense. Moutier, on the other hand, just really struggles, and there's a whole section you can get into about Moutier's defense and his struggling there. But what I really wanted to touch about was the fact that that happened when those two were in. But the other thing, too, is that that unit is the sticky unit that you and I have referred to multiple times throughout this podcast so far, if you guys have been listening. And it's very evident that those players on that second squad are oftentimes really almost just dead committed to kind of doing the one-on-one scoring, not passing like the Denver basketball that we know, not doing everybody movement. And it definitely can happen, but it's just something that doesn't happen as fluid as in the first unit that happens with Will Barton and Jameer Nelson. Things just get a little bit stickier sometimes. And I thought it was very interesting that Coach said that he needs to trust them some more. You can see sometimes that there's times when Mason's just getting accustomed to the team. Guys, not necessarily that they don't trust him, but they're not used to playing with him, and they don't lead with confidence in playing with him because they don't know him yet. So it's interesting to see that Malone and see that he sees that Mason has the ability, has the ball handling skill. I think he really enjoys bringing the ball up too. I don't think he had that opportunity. I see that he takes advantage whenever he can, and I think it's a really good thing too. But I think it's important to get Mason that ball, because the whole thing that we talked about was his ability as a passer. And if we can get the ball into his hands more in that second unit and really use him as a conduit for that second unit, it'll help with the fluidity and the continuity between those guys, and the ball won't get so sticky. We can still have the go-to scorers with Barton as a plug, but instead of him having to initiate the offense, create his own scoring, dribble way too much, and then, you know, either jack up an ill-advised shot or the kid gets buckets, you know, going through Mason will just create a more fluent offense. So I'm glad that Coach really addressed that. So just something that I thought was really interesting, something I want to talk about a little bit.
Coach, in Milwaukee you had great ball movement, especially that play with 9-10 passes that led to Gary's dunk. How much fun is it to watch these guys play so unselfishly, and have you ever seen a play like that with so much passing?
Yeah, I tell you, you know, you go back to the start of that game, I think our first 10 possessions, it was like a work of art. I mean, really, it was just beautiful basketball. And I go back to San Antonio a few years ago, and there was a video, they called it the beautiful game, and how the great thing about San Antonio was that the ball moved. No one ever held it. No one ever cared or got the shot. It was really selfless basketball, and that's something that we preach. The one possession you talked about, we get a stop, and the ball moves and moves and moves and moves, and guys continue to pass up good shots to get a better shot, pass up a good shot to get a better shot, ending with the Gary Harris dunk, one of our best offensive possessions of the year. Our challenge now is this. We do that in spurts. We do that too inconsistently, and our second unit has to buy in and play the same way as our first unit. And I think what happens sometimes, especially in Milwaukee, when you get a lead, you kind of play one-on-one, and I hate that. And we're so much better of a team when we all share the ball, we play together, and no one cares who gets the shot as long as we're winning. And I think you'll see a lot more of that in 21 games to go.
And the last point Malone made in the end of that interview was really cool for me, because that's the type of basketball that I really like to play. That's the type of basketball that I played when I played basketball back in high school, is you pass up the good shot to get the great shot. And that's one of my favorite quotes in basketball. I think, especially, get away from the Nuggets a little bit, especially in basketball just growing up, where you don't have a shot clock. You pass up the ball to get a better shot. Why would you take a shot that's just okay if you could take a good shot? And that's what the Nuggets are starting to train – or that's what Malone is trying to get these guys to start doing, is really moving that ball around and get that great shot. I mean, we made 9 passes, I think, in that possession and got an easy dunk. If we could do that, I'm not saying every single time we're going to get a dunk, but if we can have that type of ball movement more consistently, like Malone was saying, we can be even more dangerous on the offensive side of the ball, which, I mean, we already are. So that's going to be way... that's going to be a lot harder to guard us if we're that type of offensive team. Because, like you said, also is the Spurs back in the day had that type of offense and still do, really. And that's why they've been consistently one of the best teams in the last, I mean, I don't even know, 20 years even. Since I've been alive, they've been good. So if we can just keep that type of offense moving and keep the ball moving around like that, we're going to be a tough out in the playoffs, and I think people are going to underrate us a little bit, even with these type of stats that we've been putting up, and if we can improve through these last 21 games.
The old classic saying of offense wins games, defense wins championships. Just want to give a quick shout-out to Coach Perez of the Highland Huskies and all those boys playing extremely well. They went 22-0 this season. They had an amazing, amazing season. They've been playing awesome. Two-way stuff, but still, they're playing really good and really proud of Coach Perez. It's actually my uncle coaching the boys team, so I'm definitely a little biased there. But the whole reason I bring him up and give up a kind of random shout-out is because his entire scheme, his entire process of his basketball team is defense. Defense, defense, defense. There's some really good scorers on his team and stuff, but as a whole, there's not any one kid who's going off for 40 points a game or who's just lighting up the three, or, you know, there's no hot dog, there's no one superstar, but these kids really buy into the system of playing defense and how crucial that is. When you look at some of the best teams, like you said, San Antonio Spurs, who have been relevant since the beginning of time, you know, since the Big Bang happened, it's because their defense is always a focus. Since Pop's taken over, it's always been that way. Their offense, they have great players. Their offense is just going to flow. But, man, if you can really focus on that defense, and like one of the points you had made earlier about, we don't need to hold them, you know, to 38% shooting. If we can just slow them down and continue to play with our high-octane offense, we can allow for a little bit, you know, of a team shooting a little bit better on a night. If we can just contain them a little bit more than we have so far this season, just like we did with the Bucks and Chicago as well. So some really excellent points there. Defense wins championships. I think that's going to be a huge, huge key to us really maturing and furthering our style of play. So that was some really cool stuff. Big shout out to Mallory again. Thanks a lot, Mallory, for hooking us up with that audio and getting that really good question in about Mason as well. I thought that was an awesome question. So big shout out to Mallory. Make sure to go follow her at Mallory Salazar on Twitter. And, you know, she's always posting out new content and stuff for us as well. So awesome job there. So one thing I just want to get into real quick, Logan, before we talk about some obscured subject that you really want to get into is a little bit about the game with Charlotte. What do you think our keys are for this game? What are the things you want to see going forward? And what do you think will be our biggest threat with Charlotte?
I think our keys going into every game are very similar at this point because we know what we have. We know what we need to do. So I think our big keys, move the ball like we've been talking about, and effort on defense. If we at least give that effort, we'll see what we can do on the defensive side of the ball, see if we can hold them to 45% shooting or so. So I think those are going to be the biggest keys. Just move the ball on offense, which we've been doing really well at. Just constantly doing that. Make sure the ball doesn't get sticky in the second unit especially. And just D'ing up on these guards, especially with how much we struggle guarding the point guards because we really don't have a great defensive point guard. So maybe if we get a little bit better help by our defensive guys, knowing that we're going to get beat a little bit more often tonight with Kemba. So we just need to make sure that we're playing good team defense against Charlotte so we can make sure that we get this win and start this home standoff right.
Cardiac Kemba, man, the kid is dangerous. And our guards, like you said, have been known to not have the best style of defense. So it'll be an interesting one. Like Coach Malone had said in that audio, we're going to have our hands full with this kid. This whole team, you know, going back to another point in that audio, like Malone said, we're really going to need to focus on these games ahead of us. It's easy to get excited, and the more we distance ourselves, you know, from anybody close to the eighth, it's going to be hard not to look forward, but I mean, no, it's not going to be a give me. None of these teams are going to roll over and die for us, and we're not just going to walk on everybody. So very important, night after night, these guys are going to be battling fatigue, soreness, and they're playing some of the best people in the world in basketball. So, you know, this is going to be really important. All the support that we can give as fans and as supporters are going to be huge for these guys. So, all righty, this is the special section of the show. Got something very interesting that our own Logan Parks has wanted to bring to you. Let's get into it, Logan. Let's tell the people what we've been talking about a little bit lately.
All right. So first, I got to preface this with I'm not crazy, I'm not wacko, but I've got a new idea that I'm not saying we should implement, but I think it's something to at least take into consideration. It's gonna go against a lot of what people think about basketball. So what I really want to do with this is just see what you guys think about it. If you think it's stupid, tell me. If you think it's smart, tell me too. I mean, just comment down below what you think about this. Derek's going to play devil's advocate with me on this one because he's not as big on this as I am, but without further ado, I'm going to get into this a little bit.
All right, that's all you guys get of that one, so stay tuned for next week on that podcast. Look at Twitter. We'll make sure to drop the date for it, and you guys will be able to hear the kooky things we've been cooking up here.
All right, y'all. Well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. That's going to be it for today's or tonight's episode. And we'll be coming back again a little bit later on this week or early next week with another episode. So make sure to keep a lookout for us. And like I said, guys, if you can, please make it over to iTunes. Leave a 5-star review or a 1-star review, whatever you need to do. And just let us know what you guys think, what you guys want, what you guys want to hear more of. This is the podcast for the people, done by the people, us, Nuggets Nation. Let's get it. Make sure to get out there and support your Nuggies. This is going to be a huge home stand for us. We really need to make sure to get out and give these boys some love. So anything else, Logan, you want to say to the good people of Nuggets Nation?
All I got to say is let's start this home standoff right against Charlotte, and let's get some wins and keep this season rolling. Let's push for these playoffs, Nuggets.
All right, all right, all right. Well, thanks again, y'all, for joining us. Make sure to leave that review on iTunes for us, and we'll see y'all next time. Let's dig in. I feel the breath of your girl.
This is for when you like 6 a.m., I told you, and the furniture's all white and plastic, and you talking to a girl you have no business talking to, and she's too fine, and you ain't never talked to a girl that fine before. Tell her that you know me, and it'll be all good. I'm just talking, Monsignor. You can cut me off anytime. Let's go. And we out.
out.